Welcome everybody to the Aris Meyer podcast. How are you doing today? I am joined by two very special guests on this day for a topic I'm super excited about. I have with me a man that's been on the pod before in a group that he's in, a mega metal group that's album will be out soon. His name is Young Nam Heller. Young Heller, how you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, my dude. And I am also joined by a man that I don't think I've met before in person, but I heard on a podcast called the Falling Out Podcast with Elgin that I was also a guest on. And after hearing his interview, I knew I had to loop him into conversation. My man, Hey Nam Garing, how you doing, brother?
Hey man, doing good. Thanks for having me.
Have we met before?
Not officially, not in real life.
Thank God. The last person I had on was like, when I had Renee on, she was like, actually, I met you at a workshop, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, God damn it. Like, so embarrassing, dude. All right. I know your sister very well, but I believe this is the first time that we've ever spoke.
I think my little brother met you at a workshop and he liked you a lot.
Oh, cool. I hope so. I tried to be a nice guy.
Yeah.
Less church talk, more like, how are you? You know what I mean? That was kind of like my vibe.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the topic today is psychedelics. And this is something that I've always been interested in from the time I was young, reading mythology, reading philosophy, listening to all different kinds of music. And I didn't have much experience in it at all because the way that I grew up obviously was very conservative, very puritanical. So these kind of things weren't really discussed. A couple years ago, though, my good buddy Young Nam moved to Los Angeles. And Young and I started talking about a lot of different things. And one of those things was psychedelics. So Young, tell me a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how you kind of got into psychedelics.
Oh, sure. Yeah. This is actually one of my favorite topics to just sort of like, you know, conversate about, just like, you know, riff, because it can go anywhere. It can go from A to Z in like a second because psychedelics are so strange and crazy. Yeah, so a little bit about me. I'm from New York City, born and raised in Harlem. I grew up in a cult, super fundamentalist religion. That, you know, we all share.
Mm-hmm.
I've been drawing all my life. So I'm an artist. I make my living drawing pictures, currently in the animation industry. I'm directing on at an animation company called Titmouse on a show called Critical Role: Legends of Vox Machina. So that's what I do for my living. I'm also in a metal band called Hexacon, so I'm doing that.
Shout out Hexacon.
Hexacon. Yeah, and then, I mean, that's it, really. That's it. I went to school at the School of Visual Arts. I don't know what. I'm just thinking, like, what would I put on a resume? Is what I, for some reason, that's how I answered that question.
Oh, you could answer it like a dating site question too, like.
Oh yeah, I like long walks on the beach.
No, you don't, bro. You
I don't like to smile. No, I don't like any of that shit. Actually, I like to be in a dark room and work by myself for 10 hours in the day. Is that strange? Am I a strange guy?
That is the industry for you, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm in the right place. So I guess drugs now? Talk about the drugs?
Well, all right, let's introduce Hanon first and then we'll talk about the drugs.
Yeah.
Tell us a little about yourself, bro.
Cool. So I grew up in Jersey. I grew up in the same cult. Not too much about me. I guess my dating profile literally is just about psychedelics. Kind of, I need to get
shaman,
past that
shaman,
barrier.
Shaman.
Well, the word shaman has now been fucked because, like, one of them stormed the White House or the Capitol, right?
Oh, douche. Yeah, the douche.
He was a mushroom shaman too, so that sucks.
How is that guy on mushrooms?
I don't know, man. Maybe he's a fucking plant to make a CIA plant to make mushrooms look terrible.
I guess.
I don't know.
I like that.
But yeah, I grew up in this cult. I never really, like, in the cult, we do a lot of work to try to feel God or whatever, and never had anything close to any spiritual experiences. But after years of psychedelics, I definitely have been open up to that world as well. So I don't know, those are my two interests right now, is psychedelics and spirituality and how they kind of coexist.
Hmm. Isn't it interesting that you spent like an entire lifetime in this religion and it didn't help you find either of those things. And now all of a sudden that's your hobbies after you left. You're like, oh, I left my organized religion. Now let's learn about religion. Like
it's really weird.
Yeah.
But at least my parents are happy. Like my mom cried when she found out that I still I believe in God again.
Uh-huh.
Or some form of God.
Interesting.
You know. So that's nice. But yeah. Definitely no spiritual experiences during my time in the church, but yeah.
Anyway. So okay, boys, I'm gonna just open the floor then. How did psychedelics start for you? Because obviously growing up in the church, we were told that if you did certain things, if you smoked, if you drank, if you did drugs, then like you would be influenced by like evil spirits, right? So we weren't supposed to do any of those things. But at some point, I'm assuming we all started smoking marijuana first at some point. Is that fair to say?
Technically drinking first, right? Alcohol is the real gateway drug. But start smoking weed.
Yeah, for me, sorry, was that a question to both of us?
All the questions are to both of you.
Oh my.
Are you sober now?
I'm mostly sober. <right now. laughs> No, but I actually took mushrooms before. I've smoked weed before, but it was never that regularly. It was just like once or twice. And then I was doing psychedelics more than I was smoking weed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll be more interesting. We'll just do your individual journeys to psychedelics. We'll start with Young. Like what made you want to try mushrooms? Like why was that interesting to you?
Well, first I hadn't planned it. So I was on a trip and, you know, it was a bunch of guys, like half dozen guys. And I had just broken up with the girl I was kind of seeing at the time. And, you know, I was just like, it was just a trip of like, all right, I'm back single again, and kind of a reset kind of trip. And then just had mushroom crumb dust at the bottom of his Ziploc bag that he was like, oh, hey man, do you want some of this? Cause they were splitting it. And I was like, sure.
Like what was left? Like not even full pieces of mushroom, just like the little,
there was pieces. I mean, I could say it was like half a dose, like a 16th. So it was decent. It wasn't, you know, I was tripping, but it also, the little known fact is the dust has like the most spores in it. So like, if you like gather the dust, like that shit is like, yeah, it's a rocket ship right there. So I took it and it was crazy. And, you know, in a way it was weird. I was like acting out kind of towards the group. And I was really like thinking like, oh, I gotta be by myself. Cause my social self is coming out and I'm like, I don't like that. And like, I wanted to be, I immediately went to a tree, a different tree, and was just like, you know, talking with the tree and, you know, just kind of like, yeah. So just kind of like on my own and just in my own world and just like observing the imagery behind my eyelids.
Hmm.
And, it was so fascinating to me, and it really like opened me up to the possibility that like, I not only do I not know a lot of stuff, but also all that stuff that I know that I don't know, there's infinitely more shit outside of that whole circle that I don't know I don't know. And it was like, yes, it was terrifying, but also very refreshing, because like, I thought that, you know, for all of us, we all thought we knew everything. We knew the final answers to all the fucking big questions. And, you know, at the time it was like that dark time when you've lost your faith and you're kind of just like, you know, trying to be like lost, but making your way in the world and dating and, you know,
yeah,
mid 20s. late 20s for me. You know, it's that time where you're like, what do I know? And then the shrooms was like, you don't know shit. Like, that was the answer that pretty much came back. So that started me on, that's what started it. And then after that, I got shrooms from people. I just wanted to do it again and again. So I bought some shrooms. I did juice shrooms in various circles of friends. And then that went to acid, and that went to, after acid, I did DMT. And, you know, I keep forgetting all the ones that I did. Then yeah, there's the
ayahuasca.
Oh yeah, ayahuasca, right. I did that. Oh, and then I, the craziest one was 5-MeO DMT that I did. That was like the wildest.
That's from a toad, right?
You could do, I mean, you could either synthetically do it, which is kind of a different trip, I hear. And it's cleaner, it seems, than I did the toad venom though. There was like a shaman guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just been, you know, a thing that I would do. Now it's like maybe once a year I'll do it, but I used to do it like once every 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. So there was like a time in your life where it was like your practice, like you were just, that's all you wanted to do.
I mean, without getting too deep into it, I'd say, yeah, it's a practice, but then also it was like an escape as well. It was a few things for me. It was like, I was an explorer. That was the coolest thing was like, let's explore. What's inside me right now? That's number one. It's like, you're just bushwhacking. Like, oh shit, there's this temple in here and there's these Hindu goddesses that I didn't know was here. And it's so the exploration is the first thing. The second thing is like escape from the mundanity. Is that a word? I don't know. The gross nature of like just the waking life. Mm-hmm. And especially with the loss of your whole worldview, it was just so heavy at the time that I didn't know this subconsciously. I just wanted a break. I just wanted to be out.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, when you say practice, it sounds like it's like a healthy, there's a health tinge to it.
Yeah, that's not what I meant. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it was healthy and unhealthy. You know, I'll be honest with you. Like, I was probably abused and I was probably like not taking more responsibility over my life at the time. But that's what that's what I had at the moment. So, yeah. Practice.
What about you, Anna?
Yeah. I got into weed when I was 21 and then quickly into shrooms. So, yeah, quickly got into acid from shrooms. And, like you were saying, how you don't know shit. You realize you don't know it. There's just so much more to reality than we realize. And letting psychedelics kind of show you that. I just got fascinated. But like, I would say the first 10 years of my life or my psychedelic tripping was more enjoying it and then abusing it, kind of getting to like the every 2 weeks of tripping kind of thing. Or it's like,
oh, the Young Nom schedule is what we call
yeah,
it.
Yeah. You know, it's like some days I get out of work early and it's like, oh shit, I could technically squeeze a trip in. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
I was living in like Philadelphia. I mean, and just tripping by myself and going out in the city, just kind of exploring. But recently I've been kind of getting into the different levels of it, because that's the thing about them, right? Like, I've only done acid, salvia, which is garbage, and mushrooms. But even in those two, there's really like, there is levels to it. Like, I mixed it. I've been doing a lot of breath work and meditation. And when I do that with mushrooms or acid, it really changes things. Like,
interesting.
I really recommend it. It really fucks with your perception of what reality is. You can look in, like, you take acid, do some breath work, and then go into the mirror and just breathe into your stomach and stare into your own eyes. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like the observer observing the observer type thing. And it's kind of like a, whatever it is, whatever you're not looking at kind of dissolves. And it's just like, all you see is like blank space. It's really weird. But I don't know. There's just different, I don't know if I'm a psychonaut or whatever, but I have been fucking with different ways to like tweak it to get kind of a different experience. Like, recently I started doing a little bit of nitrous, which is, you know, what is it? It's like the whipped cream gas. But if you do that on psychedelics, it's a straight up, it's like a portal to the beginning of time. Like you feel like, no, like for real, like you feel like you get to the beginning, the source of it all.
Wow.
And then you kind of feel like how it all degraded over time to get to where you are. And you feel like you're like 800 degrees away from like the original reality or so. I don't know how to explain it, but mm-hmm. when you do nitrous on psychedelics for like 3 seconds, you know everything. Wow. And then it kind of all fades. But every time I did it, the whole picture faded away, but the message was the same. And the message every time I get into like a deep, deep trip is it's all love. It's always been love. I think we are love. I wonder if we are like a physical manifestation. I'm still figuring this out because this was like Wednesday, right?
Yeah. Wow.
So, you know.
Is the breath work that you do? I had Peter Pierkowski on a couple episodes ago.
He got me into it.
And he does the Wim Hof breath work. Is that the breath work you do?
Yeah. So I worked for Pete, and he's got a breath work coach that he provided for the company. So every Thursday we'd have like a Zoom call breath work. And so I've learned a lot from him. He's really, really, he's been doing it for like 20, 30 years. He's a Wim Hof instructor. But definitely like, if you're ever up in Portland or if I'm down there and you want a trip, I could lead us through some fucking simple breath techniques and it changes shit, man.
Wow. Yeah. He invited me, and I still need to take him up on it. He invited me to the Thursdays.
But like, you should. It kind of sucks. It's kind of work. It's kind of physical work to kind of do it. But
I mean, dog, when I see the pictures of him with Wim Hof and they're like almost butt naked in like the mountains, I'm mad discouraged. Like, I'm just like, or I could smoke a joint, eat some pizza.
You know, like, breathing is easier than ice baths.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'm ice definitely in into river. It. I mean, I've had this fascination since I was a kid with, like, the Dalai Lama and with Tibetan monks. And you know how it is. Like, I don't know if this is everybody, but when you're, like, a Western white person, somehow spirituality is, like, over there. It's always somewhere else. You know, it's always someone that doesn't look like you, that speaks a different language, that does something different than the culture you're used to, you know? So growing up in America, when I learned about Christianity as like a kid, I was just like, meh. And then I saw the Buddhist with the monk and the robes and the mandalas. And I was just like, oh, that you know, that must be where enlightenment is. It's something far away and different. But watching monks do breath work was like, you know, you would hear these stories of like, how they would meditate and do breath work. And then they could like walk up the side of a rigid mountain with no shoes on. Like it was nothing. You know what I mean? And you're just like, it's so like mythical and like, how is this real?
And then, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, go ahead, bro.
Oh yeah. Just to on the topic of breath work there. There was a time when right after I'd done 5-MeO-DMT, I was tripping every night. I was kind of worried that I'd keep tripping because every night when I'd go to sleep, I would trip for like 2 weeks. Was intense because like melatonin is so similar to the compound that is 5-MeO that like when it comes up, it just starts. So that being said, what I mean to say is I was tripping. I tripped once. I was watching Netflix, and at the time there was I had a big projector. So on the wall, they have the kind of advertisement for the newly arrived show. And it was like something like a cosmos, like a black, all about black holes. And it was a giant black hole that was just on my projected wall in Glendale. And I started to trip bad, like bad trip, just looking at the thing. Mm-hmm. I went to the bathroom to throw up, and it was starting to like that feeling of like just, impending doom that's compounding on top of you, turning into a mountain. And then what I did was I'll just try my Wim Hof breathing. And I tried it, and it was all of a sudden that it took a whole one set of like the 40 inhales or whatever, but like after one set it became like everything was like everything was, I could love like forever, Like, it was a feeling like, everything was love, and even just loving was like the best thing in the world. And I was like, dang, if death is like me just like earnestly loving everything that's alive or whatever, like, that's cool with me. Like, I would, like, for most of my life, I hoped death was just asleep, because, mm-hmm. you know, I just didn't want anything else. But I'm like, I could actually do this for eternity. Like, I could love like this for eternity. Mm. That's how I felt, just with breathing.
So instead of breathing, did you try hitting yourself and singing the same song for 10 hours? Because I've heard that also is...
That's what I heard too. I mean, from a very, very viable holy source, I heard that. So
yeah, word up.
That must be true.
Yeah, I need to try that. I've only ever tried like regular breathing, you know, like a deep breath meditation, but I've never tried like the regular Wim Hof. But even like, so when I started smoking weed, I was like probably in high school, and I'd hang out with my boys, and you know, like we'd smoke weed and then just drive around. And one of my buddies, he had he was rich and he had a nice ass car, and he was like my only friend with a nice car. Everyone else had a beater. So we get in his car, and we would just cruise, and we would listen to just like, you know, the hip hop of the day, early late 90s, early 2000s. So like, you know, RIP DMX was one of the people we listened to a lot, Tupac, Nas, whatever. And it was crazy because in those days, like, I would smoke weed and it makes you so sensitive to everything, right? So whatever emotion you're feeling is like amplified. So we'd be cruising, eating, be happy, joking, be happy. And then you see a cop and you would get like this heaviness and this fear. And then it would be like waves, you know? So it was like mad fun back in the day to just act stupid. But I never attached any kind of like significance to it, you know, where if I was actually trying to figure something out or trying to like get over a feeling I had or whatever, you could use it as a tool or as a medicine. I never like really associated those things until I got older. And because of the church, I kind of stopped doing it for a long time. But I would always, you know, hear about people doing psychedelics, whether it was in music or in art or in movies or whatever. So then my friend moved here from New York, and we were kicking it, and he started talking to me about like, hey, you know, do you want to try some of these things? You know, not a friend that you guys know. He's like somebody else. You guys probably don't know. And he's like, hey, do you want to try these things? And I was like, yeah, like I really do. Cause I'm the kind of dude that like, yeah, spiritual is kind of an icky word, but like, I like to, things are significant to me. I like to read books by different teachers. I like nature. You know, I'm one of those guys. I wear the malas. I have like almost every religion's like necklace. I don't know why. I even got a Lord of the Rings ring on a chain. Like, I just, I love necklaces, dog. I don't fucking know. So we all went to hang out, and he gave me the mushrooms, and I took them. And I was like, my first initial feeling was fear, because I was like, I don't know what this is. This is like the unknown. I've never done this kind of thing before. Like, when you're a regular religious person, you don't have a lot of fear because you've kind of turned your brain off. You're just floating down the river of, here are the established boundaries of religion. This is what's good. This is what's bad. If something is going bad, here's what I need to do. If something's going too good, here's what I need. You know, it's very established. But when you do, when I did mushrooms, my first feelings were like anxiety at first, like, uh-oh, I'm losing myself. I'm losing my power. I'm losing my autonomy. Anything could happen. Someone could just walk up and kill me, like whatever. And then once I went outside and I sat down, and I looked up at the sky, and then the sky started like, there was like one shape in the sky, and then it just started multiplying itself throughout the sky. And I looked down at the plants, and the plants were like slowly breathing. And this calm came over me. And it's exactly what everyone talks about. Almost immediately, you feel this interconnectedness with yourself and the world, yourself and nature, yourself and, you know, I could look at the house. I didn't feel anything from the fucking house. But when I looked at that, you know, aloe plant or there was like a hawk in the sky, you just felt like, oh, like I'm a human being. I'm not better or worse than anything here. I'm part of this thing that like, this is one ecosystem and I'm just part of it. So to me, it was like, my first time was so transformative. And it made all, I'd always heard like people, you know, like when you guys were talking earlier about like the infinite, about love, about other dimensions, most people just shake their head and go, come on, dude, that's some hippie shit. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
And all of us probably, right? Like I 100% would have said that's all ridiculous.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
I would look at like paintings by Alex Gray, you know, on Tool albums, and there's all the electricity moving through the guy's body, and it's all, and I'm just like, you know, as a quote unquote religious person, you just shake your head and go, well, this isn't real. It's, you know, let me tell you about Adam and Eve and our portion of responsibility. And, but once you do the mushrooms, it's almost like, it's so cliche, but it's almost like your blinders come off and you realize that like, it just goes away. I tried to use my phone. I couldn't even use my phone because 1,000 little pixels of light were pointing out of it. And I couldn't even look at it. I just put it away. And I just sat in nature and like just felt this calm and this serenity. And like Young said, this love, like, you know, in motherfucking Dragon Ball, when Goku's doing the spirit bomb and he puts his fists up and everyone on the planet sending like their energy or whatever to Goku to throw that one spirit bomb. It took like fucking 12 episodes. Mm-hmm. Like that's for real what it feels like when you're sitting in nature on mushrooms. Like you're just like breathing in and breathing out the same thing as all of like nature. Like I felt like a tree. And then I had this other experience where I was laying in bed and like, I've had like depression my whole life. I've suicidal thoughts my whole life. And like I was laying in bed and there's like these carpets on the wall that had shapes and they're moving and shit. And I heard this voice in my head that was just like, hey, Eris, like I heard you want to die. And I was like, yeah. And it was like, all right, well, if you want to die, we could do it right now. We can do it very gently, very easily. You don't even have to worry about it. You could just right here in this nice soft bed, you could just die. And it made me like, it made me actually say out loud, no, I'm good. Like I called my bluff, you know, like my own bluff. Like it made me say like, no, I actually want to live. So those were like, that's the first time I ever did mushrooms. And it was like so transformative to me that after that, I wanted to try other things. And I tried other things and I'll share about that later, but I just wanted to kind of like set the table with why I'm so interested in this topic and why I want to talk to you guys about it, because it was so transformative for me as a complete novice, as someone that had never done anything like that before. And
I had a question for you, because I also had like definitely problems with depression, and studies have definitely come out saying mushrooms are good for depression. So did that give it for you a lasting effect of not being depressed anymore, or was it just in the moment for you?
You know what? I'm going to say that it gave me a couple months.
Yeah. They say 6 months ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
It gave me time that kind of reset me. And, you know, after I did it, I really felt like it was easier to connect to people. I've always had a good time connecting with people, an easy time connecting to other people, but not always had an easy time being vulnerable myself, as far as like, you know, low self-esteem or imposter syndrome or whatever. Like when people love me, sometimes I'll be like, yeah, right. Like you don't know the real me, you know, like that old shame shit. But there was a series of months where I was like, yo, I want to live. Like I'd walk by a tree and touch the tree and I'd be like, yeah, man, that, you know, we out here. So for real, it really did help me. And, you know, eventually it went away. You know, I have depression now. I have suicidal thoughts. So that stuff always comes back. But for me, when I did mushrooms, it grounded me and also freed me in a lot of ways from my own shit, you know, my own blocks in my life that were like, you can't do this because of that. You can't believe this because of this thing. It helped like push that shit away so I could see past it a little bit. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely. It makes it so much easier to get past your limiting beliefs. You realize you can do anything. I mean, it also depends on what level of tripping, right? Because I've tripped a bunch of times, and I had few that were like transcendent, where you kind of realize that you're that you are an eternal soul type thing, where you're like, shoot, I don't want to get into this early, but like I had what I would call like a spiritual awakening.
Yeah, kind of tell thing. Us about it, bro.
Well, that was I told this on the other podcast, but basically it was five.
This podcast is better, bro. Just tell it here.
All right. So it was five of us, and we did the breath work before, and we had a pretty rough trip. We were like out in the heat, sweating, like kind of way too hot. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? And so like our bodies were physically taxed. We had done breath work, but it was like six of us, 3 hours into the trip. One of us starts like kind of freaking out, saying like, I'm experiencing something like some ego death type thing. But then like we all started feeling it. And we all merged. And I talked to one of my friends afterwards, and he said it was like we all merged consciousness, and like we all joined the one together. And I mean, what blows my mind is that it was all of us at the same time. Hmm. I don't understand what does that mean? Like, I don't know. Like when you have a weird spiritual experience and you dismiss everything that you've dismissed before, you can undismiss those. Like, so like people saying shit like raising your vibration or whatever, I would laugh at that, but maybe that's real. Maybe as a collective of five people, we raised our vibration. Like maybe that comes as a group and we ascended into this spiritual realm to get, I don't know what the fuck happens.
There's only so like, many ways to describe things too. So like our mm-hmm. lexicon is only so big that when we hear something that's like, oh yeah, we've heard it described that way, then we can repeat it because we get it. But it's
we don't have the language. Exactly. We don't have the language. I remember even as it was happening, someone tried to say, it's like, you can't, there's just no way. Like I felt like as if I was a few inches outside of myself. Hmm. I wasn't within myself. I certainly wasn't in this dimension. And there was an angelic glow to everyone's face. Like it was like a white filter over it, like powdered filter where everyone was just like angelic. It was, dude, I don't know. I mean, it was like the 90th time I've tripped. Mm-hmm. And to have something so much different, so much more. And the 89 times before that, I never fucking felt like too spiritual. I felt one, but this was undoubtedly one. This was like, there was moments of almost feeling like you were getting injected with truth, like universal truth. And it wasn't your subjective thought. It was like, this is what it is. Hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
Were those people like your really close friends, or what was your relation to those people?
I'm close with a few of them. I know some of them pretty well. And we all range from like first time taking mushrooms to like seventh time to like me, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, you guys actually know them.
Yeah, I'm sure. We all kind of,
you can figure it out.
Yeah, we could do the math.
But
they're actually on the show. Let's bring them out. No, just kidding.
not this episode. Or maybe cut that. But I don't know. It was beautiful. And since then, I'm wondering for you guys, have you had like a real transcendent spiritual experience at any point? Or have you felt the oneness?
The oneness.
It's a douchey way to say it, but I don't know a better way to say it.
I don't think I've... I don't know. I might have.
It's okay. It's okay because, you know.
Oh yeah, no. I'm fine. But I don't think I might have. Like I really am not sure. I mean, I feel like I'd know, but like I've felt like I've had the scary doom death of all deaths experience like so mm-hmm. many times, and then like came out of it and mm-hmm. experienced some sort of upliftment out of that. Maybe that's what you're talking about, but I don't think it is. I think you're talking about something bigger.
I felt a degree of oneness before, but this was an undeniable different state of being.
Yeah, I've heard of what you're talking about. I don't think even on DMT on the highest levels, it's like I would get right to the doorstep and just tear myself apart and never get there. So no, I've never experienced that.
Can you describe it a little bit?
Yeah, it was like, okay, so the situation was, it's so weird. We were all sitting around, and it was kind of a weird trip. Like, we weren't all on the same page. We started watching Land Before Time. And it was almost like
no, as if, Littlefoot.
It was almost as if the narrator's voice put us into a trance. And it's like, also, it's like, it's this voice that we don't recognize, but also we've all heard. Right, because we're all that age. So somewhere when I was three, I have this memory of this, and I don't know if that's what did it or the music, but maybe we all started just kind of breathing, because once the person said it, we all started kind of breathing, and you could breathe with like the rhythm of the universe, and you could kind of live in that fucking moment of like now. I don't, it's all so ridiculous sounding, man.
I'm recording all of these very nice Instagram quotes you got.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard, like we said earlier, it's hard to fucking explain and articulate what you're feeling so or how you felt. Young, do you have any experiences that you want to share that were, you know, that were transcendent for you or were interesting or even, you know, like, for example, we're all from the same religion, something that helped you break off or expand or, you know, or even why do you do them? Like what does it do for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, like I said before, it was like, you know, I grew up in a very, very restricted household it wasn't a very warm household. And there was a lot of threat everywhere. I grew up in like, you know, 90s Harlem. It was just a crackland battlefield. People were dying left and right. And then also I was in a cult. And, you know, my parents didn't really have time for it. They made six of us and didn't really follow through with the taking care of us. It was just very dark. So my entire mind frame, not knowing it, thinking, oh no, I'm a positive guy. I'm like a fun guy sometimes, whatever. But not knowing that my mind frame was so small, so ignorant, and so dark, and so really fear driven. I had no idea that I was, you know, if you could imagine a spectrum of human, what's it called? Just motivation and just where they fit on like between love and fear. I was on the fear. I'm so much on the fear side. Anyway, you don't know until like you actually step outside of your mind and look at it. And you're like, oh my God, this is actually like, I'm afraid every day. Every choice I've made in my life has just been putting out a fire. It's never been like, anything for me on a frequency that's positive, that I'm like, oh, you know what? I think that would be nice. I'm going to do that for me or for, you know, another person, but with my own agency. It was always, a fear or a smallness to it. You do enough of these. For me, it was shrooms. And then it was acid was also very helpful. But you do enough of these substances and you realize that like, oh, okay. When I think of the people who are in fear all the time, this idea that I have, of like, you know, let's say you're in therapy and you're thinking of a sort of person that just makes decisions based on lack and, oh, I don't have this. Oh, I could never be good enough. I realized that I was that guy. I was like the token guy like that. And I think, so the biggest thing for me, and this is just general, I've had a lot of experiences and I don't really draw on any individual one, just the act of separation is like the most profound from your waking pattern of life, brain pattern or whatever. Just separating from that and looking at it and being like, oh, okay, I'm actually, here's where I begin and where I end. And, you know, there's other ways to be. And, you know, whether I make the choice to, you know, grow in that way later or not is up to me, but the substances will show you that there are other options. And I think that's the hugest thing is what I was talking about earlier about just living in a very restricted household is that like, there are no options for you. You think life is a certain way every day. And that worldview compounds and compounds and compounds and you just think you know life. It's like, no, life is this, everything's scary. People are out to get your fucking money and lock your door. Like, so, and you really believe that because since day one, that's what you've known and your brain has fed that frequency to you just like all the time. So it's just very refreshing, very just almost like you just want to cry when you first like realize that like there's actually other ways to live. There are other belief systems that are more true than your own head. And people, love is okay. And trusting people is okay. It's like you're just blasted with it's just a whole new life. It's, you're just woken up to the fact that like your life can be very, very different if you choose it to be. I think I use the term, it's like, you know, when you read a book, you choose to read a book, you buy a book, you use the intention to like gain knowledge on whatever subject, or, you know, let's say it's a fiction book or whatever, you get, you gain all this knowledge out of this book. This is more of a nonfiction analogy maybe. But with shrooms, you're using your entire nervous system to gain some kind of knowledge. That it's like you're reading a book with your entire body. Like you're feeling your body, how tense it is, how much fear it's had contained and had to contain for you. And you're feeling all of that just, you know, with these shrooms. It's like, I feel like it's the most lasting way to keep knowledge is through these substances. Not like books. Books will like, well, you can learn things off of books. Obviously, I've read a lot, but it's only a certain, that's only like a certain, like, I don't want to say frequency over and over, but it's an, it's only certain type of knowledge where it's like theoretical and it's an idea. But if you take shrooms, take acid, take ayahuasca, your whole body will be like, will know somehow, you know, you feel it.
Like what you're saying there with the knowledge, I was reading something yesterday and someone was saying, you know, take these psychedelics, and that's what like a shaman was doing, you know, 500 years ago. And that is what they would call knowledge, right? Like that is where they gained their great insights, right? So, I mean, what you gain in that can be profound, and like it's a fucking treasured thing back in the day. Like it would then be passed on to, you know, the village or the community. So it's kind of, it's wild the insights you can get for sure.
Yeah. And I think what's cooler about the insight, like the insights themselves are profound. And even what's cooler is the delivery system. And that like, it's like, you're not just processing it through your frontal lobe and it's like trickling into your system of neurons. Your heart is getting it. Your liver is getting it. Your like hands are getting it. Like one cool thing that I want to, you know, back in the day when I did like a huge dose of shrooms and even on acid, actually, my body does this. It's like my body will become as relaxed as jelly. Like I'll realize, you realize how much fear and tension you hold in your entire body constantly, in your shoulders, in your neck. And for me, in my gut, in my stomach, in my core.
Same stomach.
Yeah, and you realize you're holding that. No one is like, maybe you're holding that because of some reason from like your past or something where you know, some emotional trauma happened and you've got to just through control, like tense up. But you realize like, no one's actually making you do that, bro. It's just that's you and that's a habit. And, you know, you realize that through your body. It's not just theoretical knowledge.
Yeah. Part of why it's so powerful too is once you start, you can't stop. Like it's, if you're reading a book and you disagree with the book, you can put it down. Or if you're listening to, you know, your church leader, you can just turn your brain off and start doodling. But man, when you take that tab and you put it under your tongue and you wait, once you got on the ride, you're on the ride, man. And for good or for bad, you're going to learn some things or you're going to feel some things. And, you know, who knows what they're going to be. But that's what's powerful about it. And I've done, you know, shrooms and I've done acid, but I've never done anything with a shaman or a person like that. And I've, you know, I've seen the videos and I've seen like the Vice documentaries where they'll do ayahuasca and the shaman is singing and blowing like tobacco in your face. Have you guys done that kind of ceremony before?
Yeah. Yeah. I did that.
What did that add for you?
You know, I liked it. It was familiar to me because of the church, honestly.
Doing like ceremonies. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Like there are times in my life when I revisit that sort of, somehow something brings me back to an area where people are all sitting shoeless on some rug.
Was there like any stacked fruit in the ceremony?
No, but you know, like I did, you know, I was doing Kundalini yoga, got a teacher training in that. And it was all just like, a rug with bunch of shoeless people all dressed in white, just like chanting and shit.
It took you back, bro.
It took me back. But anyway, yeah, it was also like that. And that, like, so we're all communing with the spirits is what we're trying to do with this shaman, right? Her name was Little Owl, Silent Owl. I forget, Little Owl. Anyway,
you,
she was awesome.
The rapper, Big L?
She was, I think her name was Little Owl. She was like,
wait, Little Owl, O-W-L?
Owl, O-W-L. Like,
bro,
like,
come on. Bird. She sounds like a skinny white girl from Seattle.
She was not. She was like some Inuit. No, I think she was Japanese. And she was like, apparently she was like 60 years old, but she looked like she was like 28. It was crazy.
Damn, she was probably Japanese then, yeah.
Yeah.
Them good
tiny, tiny lady, you know. But, you know, so there was maybe, we were all in this jiu-jitsu gym. And it wasn't a big one. Well, we were like just sleeping on the mats. Everyone had a sleeping bag. And we were kind of in a circle, like an oblong circle. So maybe a dozen and a half people. And, you know, we were just all there with one purpose, to get, you know, get high, not get high on drugs, but to get higher, to understand something, to like search for something. And we all knew that. It was a very like kind of a feeling of like, no, we're here. We're not here for like any personal gain or anything like that. We just want to know. We just want to know. And that was something about the feeling of the everyone in the room for some higher purpose. And, you know, there's music, like she does like wind chimes and stuff.
Oh no, trigger, you know, wind chimes.
I oddly didn't even make that like connection when she was like coming around, because like I was on drugs like hard, like, and she came around with some wind chimes, and I closed my eyes when she like came around, and from the top of my nose to the tip of my dick, like magical, awesome, like velvety lightning went like went all the way down my butt. She came right next to me and did her went magic chimes, and I saw crazy like atoms and molecules, fractals, and then just went like zzz, like right down to my penis. It was amazing. So I think if you're in circles like that, where you have access to that kind of like an atmosphere when you trip, I would say go for it. It's at least what a try once, you know. It's worth it.
I mean, I would assume there's a reason why historically it was done that way.
Yeah. Yeah. It centralizes you. It like, you kind of know just from like just the folks around you tripping their asses off and murmuring to themselves that like, you're here for a reason. You're not here just to like have a good time. You're here to like get deeper and, you know, just get more into yourself and understand more. And
yeah.
And I'm guessing you don't need to, sorry for interrupting, but you'd be self-conscious about being weird and making grunting noises or doing the, like, I don't know, chants, or like, you know what I mean? Because everyone else there is fucking on the same level, right? So you can kind of be free,
Hell
I would
yeah.
imagine.
Yeah, yeah, no, totally. Like they're on this, it's twofold. They're on the same level and they're also all on drugs. So like there was, I mean, if you're embarrassed about making sounds, there was one girl that was across from me that was having an orgasm for 40 minutes, dog. Damn. It was like, just, I was like, wow, this girl is having a great time. Like, like forever, dude. It was just like, everyone was throwing up and she was just like, I ain't throwing up. I'm just going
having
to the
a good
top
time.
With this. Yeah. And then like another girl shat in her pants. So it's like, nobody like it's
hey,
all...
that's a good time too, bro.
That's a good time too. Yeah, so you know, it's wild, and there's no you know, everyone's on their sleeping bag, you know, and everyone has a bucket to, you know, there's an organization to it. No one's like getting up and getting crazy, but no one's worried about how they sound or how it feels or whatever. Unless that's something they like really have a problem with, and their intention was like, yo, I gotta stop being so self-conscious, blah blah blah, and then maybe on purpose they will guide themselves to that sort of trip.
Interesting.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. How did you guys, so the way that we grew up was like ultra conservative, right? Very specific kind of Christian religion. What did doing psychedelics what did it make you think? Like, did you reflect on the things you were taught, like, or did it like Did they just disappear when you tried psychedelics for the first time?
I was personally pretty out by the time I did psychedelics, or relatively out, but it certainly destroyed the concept of religion. You know, Yeah, but luckily, I mean, I was out. I did have a kind of thought. I think it was yesterday, and it was like, so say for example, I had a spiritual experience doing mushrooms, right? Mm-hmm. I could probably get that same spiritual experience doing meditation or maybe fasting for 7 days. So could a Muni fast for 7 days and misinterpret what I felt as the church being real?
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And has that happened throughout history? Have Christians in extreme circumstances felt, because like you could feel it in, there's different ways to get there, you know? It's not all drugs. So I'm wondering if sometimes what I felt has been misinterpreted and people just doubled down on their own religions. I know that's kind of not at all what you asked. I don't remember what you asked.
But, I mean, it's kind of what I asked,
That's just a thought I had like yesterday that I've kind of been thinking about.
Do you think that, do you guys think that intention is important? Because I've read a lot about like the Vikings going to war and eating mushrooms first, or frat boys going to see fucking some shitty band and taking mushrooms and having like a great time. And then other people take mushrooms and they're, you know, they're flying through the universe, talking to aliens and learning about the woman that created the universe, whatever it is. Like there's just like so many. So do you think intentions are important, or do you think?
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. I think intentions are important. That's one of the rules that, you know, when you're tripping with a group, they're like, set an intention to really, kind of focus you in on what you want. It's kind of like just anything in life, I guess. It's that. It's just like a set an intention for this, you know, day or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a better, more focused way to be and do anything. But set an intention. Yeah. Sometimes, though, whoever is on the other side doesn't give a fuck about your intention. And and you're just like, all right, I'm gonna set an intention to get over this thing with my dad, and I'm gonna get in there. We're gonna just battle it out. And then you're just on some other shit. You're just on some, like the aliens start talking. So,
yeah,
you know, it's like you never know, like just staying humble, I think is the key there.
Mm.
But I think I just wanted to comment on your first question about the church.
Yeah.
And like, it was about like religion and how it made us see religion different, or a different take on spirituality.
Yeah. Like when, so I guess what I'm saying is when you tried them for the first time or after that, how did it affect your beliefs as far as like, cause we're all right. We were all raised in the same thing. We're all conditioned to see things in a very specific way. You know, we had our own doctrine that we kind of adhered to. And what I'm asking is, you know, even though we were all out when we were doing these things, you know, when your ego is going away, you're still like, it's almost like you're moving and there's a trash can and a moving box and you're like, I'm going to keep this. I'm going to get rid of that.
Oh,
you know what I mean? So like for you, what did that happen to you? Or was that already all the church stuff was gone?
No, I think there's different levels of acceptance and knowledge and stuff. And you make a decision with yourself. I'm never going to church again. I'm never going to believe in that again. So you make that decision, but that's still like a pretty shallow decision. You still have those beliefs in you somewhere hiding around, and you got to fish them out. So like you can make a decision like right now to be like, I'm never going to believe in Jesus Christ ever again. But if you did for a long time believe in Jesus Christ, that image is going to be in your head. It's going to be in your heart. So I think like there are different levels, tiers of release that we have to take to get rid of certain things, or, you know, whatever, to change in whatever way you want to change. And so like one big thing for me is like every time you kind of go through psychedelics, you feel like you're kind of on, you're getting on a new rung of just like releasing old dumb ideas that don't serve you. Most importantly, the limiting ones in the church. But my big thing was like just getting back to like full sensory knowledge as opposed to like brain knowledge, because that's so limiting. But if you like feel what heaven might feel like, and you feel what God, what it might be to like kind of be like around the corner and down the hall from God itself and him and herself, like you kind of can almost see it around the corner, like to have that feeling and read the word God and see the description that some strange Korean fella told you, it's completely different and it's way more personal. So like the personal experience is really what keeps it. So like that's one level of like excavation that I can take. It's just like, I no longer believe in that old thing because I have a new thing that takes its place. That's way more potent.
Interesting. So,
yeah.
I had the experience where it kind of made, so, you know, I've always been into religion and philosophy, right? Like I was saying, when I was young, I was into the Buddhist monks, and I had like a period of time where I read the Quran, the Bhagavad Gita, you know, the Eightfold Path, the Four Noble Truths, so on and so on, all the world's religions, right? Trying to find like which one of these things resonates with me, this kind of new agey spiritual idea. And, you know, at a certain point you get like nihilistic, at a certain point you become like an agnostic, then an atheist. And, you know, there's kind of like, there's places, you know, and even you, Young, the first time we ever hung out, like you were pretty much atheist. Like you were just like, man, life is shitty. Like, why do I'm just read comic books? Like, fuck this world.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
I could never say I was atheist, but I was definitely nihilistic.
Yeah.
So
you were mad dark. Let's put it that way. You were like,
I stay dark.
Dark, bro. Son.
stay dark.
But the interesting thing about psychedelics to me is it makes the possibilities of these things real again. Like it, the indescribable awesomeness of the universe, like is there in front of you. It's tangible. So you're like, I don't know if God is real, but I know that his energy is real, that we're all connected by something. I can feel that I'm more than just this thing that I am. So maybe it's God, but maybe it's, you know, an alien. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is, but it almost like doing mushrooms almost, reopened me to the possibility of these spiritual things. And it definitely takes you out of your what you think the world is and what you think life is. And like the kind of like, I don't know. I have this feeling that like part of the reason that people believe in an afterlife is because if we didn't, we wouldn't be able to function, because all our brain would think about is like, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. Cause we're the only creatures alive that knows it's going to die. Right. So I used to think like that. And then after doing psychedelics, it was like, no, you're supposed to be here now. You're supposed to be in this moment. And there's like this infinite beauty. And like, even the idea of something like samsara, you know, like this wheel of suffering and then birth and death and rebirth, like even ideas like that, that are so foreign to somebody that grows up in a Judeo-Christian culture, seemed like a real possibility to me. You know, it was, I don't know, it was interesting for me to do psychedelics because it took these ideas that were so antiquated and that I didn't agree with, but it showed me the possibilities of how they could be real. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, totally. I'd like to add to that, because I never thought of reincarnation as anything more than a cool idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when I had my whatever experience that was, in that moment, I felt it absolutely. Like I definitely knew my soul was forever. And I felt that I chose to be here and that I'll probably be back. It's weird. I don't know. But yeah, like, yeah. It's, I feel very strongly towards it.
It's funny that you say that. It's it's just so funny. All my trips, like I couldn't give a shit about Hinduism for most of my life. I didn't know anything about it. Right. And then I do a heroic dose of shrooms, and then all of a sudden, all I see is Shiva.
Close your fucking eyes, and she's there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, so it's like Shiva, and it's like I could tell. So all my friends, some of them who weren't even tripping, like you could say I was having a bad trip because I was just like losing it. But all of them, even the ones that are like, man, this guy's fucking tripping out, and it's like bumming me out. Even the bummer ones were like, they were all different masks of the same God, Brahma, Brahman, or whatever. And it was like, they're all my teachers and enemies, and they're all my teachers at the end of the day, like that I chose to be with somehow. Like it's like a weird, it feels like something coming out of the Vedas, out of the Hindu text, that it's like, you know, like we are all just like part of this sleeping God's universe, and we're all elevating ourselves, and it's all a dream within a dream.
Some Krishna consciousness.
That's what I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. And it becomes very, very apparent that that's the truth when you're on it. And like, mm-hmm. so after that, I became like very super interested in reincarnation, because it just felt like there couldn't be an end. That would make no sense. That wouldn't mm-hmm. fit with any, the whole paradigm of how life operates. It wouldn't make or any like, sense.
Energy doesn't really go anywhere, right? It can't like disappear yeah. or be created. Yeah. Kind of has to keep going. I don't know if there's yeah. science behind that, but.
Yeah,
we like that's to, what we've been told.
We in the psychedelic community like to be we are
liberal
little quantum theorists, all of us.
Man,
amateur.
I remember so after I tried mushrooms, the next thing I tried was acid, and I kind of did that on a day, like, you know, it was actually during the pandemic, the first time I ever did it. And there was just like just mad days of doing nothing, right? Because you're just quarantined, you're just at home. And I happen to live in a pretty nice neighborhood that had big trees and like a nice area to walk. So I was just like, one day I was just like, fuck it, I'm gonna try it, you know. And it's just, it was crazy because it's synthetic, right? Like, it's man-made. It's not like mushrooms or marijuana. It didn't come from the earth. It's synthesized. But it gave me these feelings that were so close to mushrooms, where I felt connected. I'd have music in my ears, and like I would listen to a song, and I was like behind the scenes, you know. Like I listened to my favorite Beatles song is Tomorrow Never Knows, right? So they like
so good hearing it for the first time.
It's incredible. So there's all these songs that you hear, oh, the Beatles were on drugs when they wrote this, that's why it's so weird, ha 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 ha. Mm-hmm. And then you listen to it when you're on those drugs, and it's just like, oh, this could be a sore out of the Quran. This could mm-hmm. be, you know, this could be something that the Lord Ganesh said. Like, it's incredibly profound. Yeah.
Turn,
once you hear
turn
it,
turn off
way.
Your mind and float downstream.
Yeah,
you know, like
this is not dying.
Yeah, yeah,
that's right. The line, bro. And I was just like, and here I am. I'm walking through the neighborhood, like touching trees and smiling, like just having a good old time, you know. But it just, it, I feel like doing these things, it, you just, you reminded of the freedom of being alive. Like, it takes you out of like my job, my house, am I married? Do I have kids? All these things that we are so like consumed with, these ideas that are put upon us and the judgment of other people, they dissipate when we're on, when you're on these things. Yeah, and you just,
for sure.
You just feel so much joy. And it's the pandemic, right? I got my fucking mask on, walking around like an idiot. And I'm walking by these people, I don't know them from Adam. And a normal person, you know, especially someone like Young Nam from New York, walks by people and takes two steps away and is like, get the fuck away from me. I wanted to hug every person that I met, because I really mm-hmm. saw like myself in them. I was like, that's another person like me. We're here. How great is this? The sun is shining. The air is blowing. These fucking trees are right here. I could go get tacos if I want. Like, just life was just like so, so innocent and beautiful on these drugs that to me, like I wish that I had done them so much younger, because I carried so much sadness and like anger and all this stuff from my childhood or from the church or from whatever. But to me, that's why, like, when people, I used to roll my eyes when people would call drugs the medicine, but like, I really do feel like in a lot of ways they are medicine. Like, yeah. If someone is really feeling the way that I was feeling, I would really recommend mushrooms, because it really did help transform me, like from the inside out. It helped free me. It helped lighten me.
Hey, just to not to interrupt your this, but have you ever thought of microdosing? If you have, you know, for depression, like I'm hearing like a lot of good things. I've tried it, and it's nice.
What was your experience with it?
You know, it's just like sort of like some of the background negativity is just not there, and you don't realize throughout the day how much that little voice just kind of like chisels out your. Just it just like knocks you out. You start to crumble, you know, because you hear it every day. You ignore it, you fight it, but that's energy spent. So if it's just not there, you're just more just like chilling, hanging out, being Eris, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's not like it's like your subconscious is almost like lifted a little bit. Like it's a little more positive, and you got. I mean, it's like a natural Adderall. You're not cracked out and fucking feet like a, I don't know. Adderall's gross for you. You can tell it's gross for you. Microdosing feels clean. It feels good. You start thinking about what you're putting in your body. You don't necessarily want to just go get drunk or eat shit. You know, like you want to, I don't know, be a healthy person, you know? Yeah.
It definitely made me think about like the things that you know are a problem that you kind of hide in the back of your head. Like even when I went to get lunch, right? After a couple hours of being on acid, I didn't want any food. And then eventually I wanted food. And I'm thinking about like, what should I eat? And then I was like, dude, I can't eat that. That has meat in it. That's a living thing. You know, like you start thinking about stuff that you would never think about. And then
I haven't eaten. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I haven't eaten meat in 8 months since my experience, my awakening.
Really?
Thing. Yeah. Just couldn't do it. Wow. Like that's a conscious thing, right? Like they're conscious and I am conscious. I don't see how I deserve that. Like for flavor, not for sustenance, not for survival, not anymore. Like this is modern times. Damn. Right. So it's like, I like the way you taste in my mouth. So your whole existence is now for me to enjoy that taste in my mouth. You know, it's kind of fun. But no judging. I mean, no.
You're steps ahead of me, dog, because I was about to end that story with I went to In-N-Out at the best burger of my life, son.
Well, I mean, I've been in that spot many times where it's just like, I can't eat meat. I can't eat meat. I can't eat meat. And this time it clicked, you know. But yeah, it's wild, man.
Yeah, I was vegan for a bit, about almost a year, and for a while there, I thought, you know, that was the way for me. But I started eating meat again. I think, look, to a certain degree, you got to recognize the darkness of all things, and it's not. You know, there are different sides to the argument for sure. And I was on your side for a long time. And to some degree, my morality still like is on that side. It's the more ethical path. But
then you moved to LA and smelled those tacos in the air, dog. And you were like,
and then I was, oh, sold.
Man, I don't
and
know. I was sold.
Yeah, got the carnitas. But yeah, look, I at a certain point, I was like, I would trip and I'd be like, there's a part of me that's very, very dark. That's like not comfortable. That's like, it's something that like, you know, I like to look at and I like to explore and
like the shadow self.
It's not pretty. Yeah. Yeah. It's violent. It's aggressive. It's jealous. It's a lot of dark things. And I think that's also, you know, I think the universe is more dark than it is light, and that's what makes light special. But it's a dark place. We live in a dark world. So I just find it hard to, not that you were judging, but there's no harm in killing one thing to feed another is kind of how just things go.
I mean, like Benjamin Franklin was a vegetarian and then he smelt fish at a restaurant and he saw when they cut that fish's stomach open, there's a bunch of fish in it. So he's like, all right, well, they're eating each other. So, you know, what the fuck? I'm going to care about that, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, that is nature.
Yeah.
And obviously I could never judge anyone because I've been living, I don't know, 1/36th of my life as a vegetarian. You know what I mean?
Right.
Got to put some more miles on that car before you.
Yeah. And still you can never really, because you did live either way. I've been on that side. I know. I know, it's fucking tasty. It's good. I miss a taco with some meat in it.
Hey, dog, if you come visit us and you feel like you need to make a change, this is the place.
No, man, don't take him off his path, bro.
I'm just saying.
He's doing a good thing. He's doing a good thing out here for the Nambo.
It'll be like Captain America in the end where he comes back old, you know, at the end of it. It could be like that, like in the very end. Don't do it like now, but like later, you know?
The thing is, I'm so like, fucked with like my thinking of karma. I'm gonna be like, is this like a final test before I die? Like, is this
word?
Yeah, that final test shit is bogus. I feel
I think it is. I'm so kind of getting myself paranoid just
Yeah. So tests in general, I think like we all got to be, how am I going to make this point? Like, I remember someone said something about like, oh, you know, that guy's kind of like just like a normal adult. And it was all like Mooney kids. And I'm like, what do we fucking know about normal adults? Like, none of us had normal adults around ever. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like that. Like, all of us have been grown up in some crazy, you know, isolation cage of fear. A lot of us, some of us to lesser degrees. So you just gotta, you know, I found out that any test shit that I had in my head, whether it's like, oh, now it's a karma test, now it's the universe testing me, now it's like, oh, what's my true purpose test? It's like all that test shit is like, it felt like leftover Judeo-Christian shit. From
I can 1000% see that. I could totally see that.
So like I had to drop that shit because that's, I think it's tempting. And like so much of the trips happen in our own head with our own dialogue. And that dialogue is not all
coming
ours,
from your own foundation.
Unfortunately,
exactly.
It wasn't all put there by our own will. Like it's some stuff that, you know, was kind of just like forced into it, and we had no say.
Yeah.
So just personally, all the test shit, I've had to just say, nah, I'm good on all the test stuff.
Good, because I'm sick of always trying to tell the truth. I don't know.
I mean, look, no, man, look, like, I'm all about the truth. Like, I think that's great, but just the urgency that gets me. It's like when someone's like, you got to do this. And if these, you know, it's ends justify the means type thinking, you know, it's like, if we got to do this thing, we got to create this nation. You don't understand. We got to create a nation like of people that think like us, we're all doing shrooms. Like it's a test. We got to, the shroom god, the ayahuasca princess wants us to start a family here. And it's like, that's where it's the same bullshit as our parents. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, all that urgent, like testy shit, like I just leave that at the door now.
You're like the Sith Dalai Lama, bro.
I think just to bring up the Jedi shit, it's like you gotta have both. You can't just be Vader. That's stupid. That's a Halloween costume. You can't just be fucking Yoda. Like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, is how much is he helping? He's just on his own bliss path. Like, you can't live that way. How are you gonna get food? How are you gonna eat? Like, you gotta have both. And I think there's a divinity in both as well. That like, you know, just that balance, like, I think it's a hard thing to hit. And I think if you really like strive to like hit it and be good to yourself and forgive yourself, there's something about holiness in that. I don't want to say holiness because that word sucks, but yeah.
Interesting. Like. Do you feel like you've become do you feel like doing drugs makes you an advocate for drugs, or do you feel like it makes you want to like just tell people like, hey, if you want to do it, if you don't, you know what I mean? Like the way that you were talking about kind of like religion or, you know, goodness and evilness. Do you feel like you want to bring people to the church of drugs, or how do you approach it?
I'll take it. I used to be like, mushrooms are a human right, like R-I-T-E, like right as in everyone should be able to, should do it. Like maybe they don't want to, but if someone just like shows them the right way, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know, as I've gotten a little bit older, I just feel like if you're listening to this podcast and you typed in psychedelics into Google and you're listening to this podcast, definitely do it.
But if you're interested.
Yeah, definitely. If you have one, like, if you're like, huh, maybe if I did drugs, like maybe that thing inside me might like change, or I can think, see it clearly, then do it. I wouldn't say, you know, there's some guys who really believe that this life is very serious and they're playing the game real hard. You know, let's say people in finance sectors or just sectors with very little creativity or spirituality involved in them. You know, I'm sure there's some, you know, nice, divine financial guys. I'm just saying, there are people who aren't very spiritual, and for them to just get thrown into it, it can be very jarring and maybe damaging, traumatic. Mm. There was a guy in our ayahuasca. I feel like I'm hogging a lot of time, but I'll just make this quick. There was like this like Korean jock guy who was like tripping with us, who had tripped with the ayahuasca group. And 3 months later, we go back to, he was like built. He was like brolic, veins popping out, jacked Korean guy, tall. Mm. And 3 months later, we came back. He's plump as like Pillsbury Doughboy. He stopped working out and he was just like, I went into a deep depression. And, you know, he was talking, I mean, it's a lot of good things too. Like, he's like, I never knew why people got into relationships. I thought it was all about fucking, but now, you know, now I really want to have a girlfriend. Like, it's all these different things, but like, he could have, who knows what snaps when you snap? Mm-hmm. Who knows if something lasting snaps? Like, I just feel like it's risky. If you want to do it, definitely do it. If it's not on your radar, I don't think anyone should be putting LSD in the fucking, in the water is what I'm saying. Yeah.
I think we should dose the cops, but but I think I'm kind of a little bit different. I kind of like sort of being an advocate. I kind of like when I make relations with people, like friends who I think are ready, if I could help turn the lights on for them, like, and show them that there's more, I will definitely kind of talk them into a place if they seem to have the, you know, the disposition to handle it, I guess. People with a curious mind, people that want to know more and don't know this is the way to see more, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say everyone should do them anymore. I probably said that a lot in my life, but.
I mean, I remember the first time I tried, I definitely felt that way afterwards. I was like, if the whole world did this.
Everyone's thought that, right?
Yeah. Everyone thinks that, I think, initially.
My first time, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
The thought stayed with me though.
I mean, there, like, are,
sorry, what?
If I could have, you know, if I could have given everyone that stormed the Capitol some acid, like, maybe I would have, maybe they just need a hug. I don't know. You know what I mean? But there's,
well, I don't,
like,
know what's going to save the world. Cause
yeah, let me tell you about this guy from Korea.
That's the thing. We've tried a lot of, there's a lot of dudes from Korea. There's a lot of like white dudes from the Middle East or whatever, but
come on, Jesus was black, bro. Show a little respect.
Yeah, I know this. Okay, but, I do wonder if maybe if is there a tipping point where enough people are kind of doing this stuff and caring about each other, where all this corruption can't happen because enough people are like, all right, there's not enough money that you can bribe me that's going to make me turn a blind eye to this, or, you know, like, because, like, we're at a point where money rules everything, because most people just don't care about each other. They just care about themselves and how they look in front of other people.
I mean, has there ever been an organization that didn't end up corrupt at some point, whether it was about world peace or about whatever it was about? I feel like human beings are inherently, some of us are inherently that way. You know,
well, the thing about like psychedelics, it's kind of not really an organization. There's no real scripture. There is sort of a truth that you feel from it, right? But like, it's only if you feel it.
Yeah. But what I mean is, even like, let's say marijuana, you know, how many people in America are incarcerated for selling or using marijuana? And now we're federally legalizing it all of a sudden because we, you know, the government's like, yo, we can make mad money off of it, but those people are going to stay in jail, you know? So even that is kind of co-opting like psychedelics, I think, at some point. Like, I'm sure they're going to legalize psychedelics like mushrooms and acid and stuff in some states. But even then, who's going to sell it? Who's going to, you know? So I feel like there's always like some level of corruption in everything, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's just an observation from this conversation, though, is that like the perspective is so key. Like, you, Hainam, you're talking about how do we save the fucking world? Like, this conversation, like, you automatically went there. So like, the conversation wouldn't even happen if we weren't talking about psychedelics.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we'd be talking about, oh yeah, and then, you know, I might do a down payment on this house and blah, blah, blah. The three-year-old's getting... It's like, how do we save the world? It's like, that comes out of doing these drugs. Like, whether or not it becomes organized or not, just the fact that we're talking about it, is that comes hand in hand with mushrooms and acid. It's just, you know, it's interesting, you know?
It's definitely been like a recurring theme in my trips. Not every time, but maybe one out of every 10, 15 times where it's just like psychedelics will save the world. Whoa. I'm not saying I necessarily know that to be true or believe that, but it's just like, yeah. I just don't know what else is going to work.
I don't either. But it's fun. Like I would, you know, I've thought that thought, because I'm obsessed with that thought when I'm tripping, like, oh, how do we save the world's in trouble. And I just feel shadows of my younger self.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we were born and raised from the time we're
kids.
And
that could be why that could be where that manifests from.
Where
right?
it just, like, yeah, where it comes from. Yeah.
But also the thing though, like I agree with you, Hanan, because when I'm on mushrooms, like I said, or even when I was on acid, people are walking by and I just want to hug them. Like you just, it brings out this interconnectedness and this, like, you know, the old namaste, I bow to the divine in you, stuff like that. Like it's white ladies doing yoga, saying it to each other, but it's also like real when you're on psychedelics, you know, I remember, just, you know, even people that I don't like, you know, being around those kind of people. When I was on psychedelics and I'm thinking about things, your ego just melts away. Like I remember wanting to pick up the phone and just apologize to people that my pride, you know, I know that I had wronged them in some way and my pride would never let me apologize to them, but I know that I'm wrong. And when I was on, you know, mushrooms, I had this intense desire to just call them and be like, yeah, you're right. Yeah. I'm a piece of shit, whatever, you know, whatever the situation is. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's one really cool thing about psychedelics is it does make you want to save the world. I mean, even though you don't know everyone in the world, it makes you want to like save your own world, the people you love, the people you're, it makes you want to, you know, rebuild bridges. It makes you want to like admit you were wrong. Basically all the shit, you know, your girlfriend or wife wants you to do eventually.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
so that's why I feel you, Hanan, because it's like, that's how I felt too. And I still do. Like it's been a while since I've done either. So it's, you know, it's teetered out and I'm becoming cynical and negative again over time. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, especially after I do psychedelics, I intensely feel that. I mean, I'm already like a soft-hearted fucking liberal, whatever anyway, but I get that like in just ways where I just want to like, you know what I mean? Just like find the guy I hate at work and just give him a hug and be like, you're all right, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, even this week I did my heroic dose and I texted someone and it wasn't like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I still don't want to talk to you.
Bro, that's such a big step. Like to get past your own fucking ego and to apologize to someone, even just to send a text saying, I'm sorry. Like I'm sure that person didn't expect it to ever happen. Probably. Mm-hmm. So it is a big deal. And it's a way of like freeing yourself, taking the weight off of yourself. Yeah. No one feels that poison, but you know what I mean? Yeah. That poison of like, being mad at somebody else or feeling shame because you did something and you don't, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's why when my friend put me onto psychedelics, it really did change a lot of like how I felt, you know, about doing them. Like it totally, all this hippy dippy, stupid, like so much stuff just like made sense, you know, like we were saying with the music.
Mm-hmm. Random question. What do you guys listen to when you trip? You guys got a preference?
You can go first.
I don't listen to anything.
Really?
I want to hear my own thoughts.
No, music is a distraction.
It's like, yeah, it's great. So like, I like my, just principally for me, like the reason why I trip is to be like, my head isn't a nice place to be in. Just generally speaking, I'm a very negative and dark person. A lot of the times I can put out positivity, but inside, directed towards myself, it's not nice. Mm-hmm. I live with that. So I think I want to, when I trip, I want to go deeper into that negativity and see, all right, so give me more. Like, where is this coming from? Why is it here? And it's more a battle than a dance, you know. Mm-hmm. It's more like a wrestling match than like a two-step or whatever. Like I like music when I'm doing breath work, different, because you're trying to get somewhere, you're trying to like get to bliss, you're trying to like push and like release. And so like music is very helpful in that way when you're like, you know, even in a group, when we were doing ayahuasca, there was music there. So I contradicted myself. But when I'm by myself, it's all silent.
I feel like I have like stages, right? Like, especially in the very beginning, I don't want any music. I just want to sit and breathe and kind of just be in nature. But also like I did the thing where you were talking about where you just sit in front of the mirror and look into your own eyes, you know? Or like I would like talk out loud to myself. And it was almost like, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It's, and it's almost like therapy. Like there's this real shit inside of you that you just, it's like covered in stone. And it's like sticking a straw in there and letting it like vent. You know what I mean? So the first, and the beginning is always that. And then the two things I did later, you know, when you're, cause you like peak and then you kind of, you come down a little bit and then you're steady for like quite a few hours. That steady period, you're still a little bit spacey, but you're very open, like what you're feeling. So in that time is when I like to go on walks. During quarantine, I started painting, like watercolor painting. So I did a couple paintings. And then listening to music, because also in the beginning of a trip, my mind is so dumb. I like I said, I couldn't figure my phone out, so I couldn't even listen to music. And my friend who took me the first time gave me some pro tips. You know, don't have the TV on because you won't know how to turn it off, which ended up being true because I tried to turn it on and I couldn't even figure that out. My friend also said, like, you know, if you have drinks, make sure they're easy to get to. If you have food, open the packages, which me and my friend tried to like open some snacks and we couldn't even figure out how to open plastic. And
oh my God, those Star Crunches.
The dog. Star Crunches. Well, all right, bro. Like, I'm trying not to tell the people who the fuck it is.
Dude, you already said it was me.
Wait, I did?
Yeah, in the beginning. Like, I was the one who, no, it's all right, man.
All right. So Young Nam is my fucking guru. All right. That's my dog. Young Nam is the plug. But anyway, so like, you know, there's like specific rules and he kind of like, he like taught me the rules and like, that's one thing I appreciate about having friends that have done psychedelics is they show me the road. And yeah, so, you know, when I do listen to music, it was like a lot of I'm one of those people that listens to music based on how I feel. So I have I have different artists that like if I'm feeling a type of way, I'll put them on. And you know what? Anyone, like, it's a cliche, bro, but my favorite one when I'm tripping is Bob Marley. That's my absolute favorite.
I've never listened to Bob Marley tripping. I listen to him smoking weed all the time, but
it's just something about the bass and his voice and the feel. Yeah. A lot of the Beatles, because I always wanted to know, you know, I was on acid listening to, you know, Strawberry Fields Forever, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Absolutely. Rediscovering songs you think you know is really a hobby of mine.
Yeah, I listened to George Harrison, All Things Must Pass, that album, that whole album.
I'm saving that one.
It's one of my favorite albums of all time anyways, but on Mushrooms, it was incredible. But yeah, so there's like certain songs, you know, that I've liked, but just ultimately just being in nature. And I've never really experienced these things with other people too. So that's something I want to try eventually is, you know, like you were saying with your group. I've never done it in a group like that. Like even when I was with Young, it was kind of in separate places. Doing separate, we were together, but not with each other.
That's one thing. Like when you're doing it with the group, it's almost like you don't know who's going to be checking in at what time. Like there's five of you sitting in a circle or on couches. Three of you are engaged. Two of you are not talking. You know what I mean? One guy is maybe in the backyard by himself. It's very hard to get everyone on the same page, but you don't need to be.
Yeah.
There's like understanding like this person just might be not responding for the next 20 minutes and that's cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no obligation. So it's fun.
I mean, I had this moment where, so we were kind of in this cabin type of thing. And at one point me and Young Nam are in the same room and he's sitting on a couch and the couch is next to a window and I'm sitting on a chair. And it's like you said, we're in like two different worlds almost. He's sitting there and he's kind of got his face down and he's sketching in his book. And I looked at him and I looked out the window and it was like sunshine and cactuses. And then I looked down and then I looked up and the entire cosmos was outside of the window. And Young Nam was God, just kind of sitting by himself, lonely, just sketching. And then I looked down and I looked back up and it was just Young Nam again. So it's like things, you know what I mean? Like you're literally what you're saying is true where you're in different dimensions in the same room because you're, you know. But that's I don't know. You know, a lot of people say you just, you smoke the weed and you just, your brain just goes silly. But I don't know. What do you guys think? Are we significance junkies? Do we have like this habit of attaching significance to everything? Or, well, you know, or is
the universe human beings? I think human beings have to do that. I think we're wired. I mean, we see the world, we see value in the world through symbols. Like we can measure the world through symbols, and we see
symbols and patterns.
Yeah, like symbols and right. So we see our, you know, the our mother. We all have a mother, right? That's a symbol. Like deep within us, that's a symbol. When we see our mother, that's a symbol within us that creates something in our nervous system that creates a response. It's not, you're not just looking at that person. You're looking at mother, capital M, mother. You know, and so like every human being has that. They're, I mean, if I'm going to get into Jung, it's like they're called archetypes that we, you know, this is how we see the world. So like I think we do, we tap into our own mind, and through tapping in inward, we can see like vastly outward, but it's inward. I don't think we, I mean, I don't think we go anywhere, but you know, everyone else says that we do. So you know, I think wherever we go, it's through going inside. It's not like, oh, I'm going to go to the moon. And like, you know, we're going inside and then we see outside in, if that makes any sense.
I know it doesn't sound like it makes sense, but I know exactly what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah.
And like, it is, it's all within. I think almost like everything out there is almost kind of a, not a reflection of within, but like,
you don't
say, I don't know, man.
You don't say know. The microcosm word, bust out some DP.
No. I don't know. Like, I'm not even going to attempt to explain my, like, synopsis of what you said, but I know what you meant. It's tough to, it's really tough to put words to.
It's so tough. Yeah, that's the problem.
Man. All right, boys. So before we get to the lightning round, which is the end of the show, is there anything that you guys wanted to bring up or talk about?
Shoot. Let me think. I'll say this. I think like since you have kind of a dense sort of like ex-church member sort of fan base, I'll say like you might consider it. It's really done a lot of good for me and a lot of other ex-church members. To just open your mind. You don't know how closed your mind is until you get outside of it. So you might think, oh, I'm an open-minded person. I'm very accepting. And then you realize deep down inside you're not. And I think that can be very beneficial for people just leaving a very restricted worldview. So, you know, maybe consider, I may do some research. I'm not going to be like, you better do it. It's the best only, that's the only path. It's not.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe consider it.
Any organization that tells you their thing is the only thing is definitely a huge red flag.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be the, what's the lobster race in Star Wars?
Dog, what do you think? I'm Andrew over here? I don't know.
It's a trap! You should just see that guy. It's a trap!
Oh my God. Hey, now I'm closing thoughts.
Yeah, kind of parroting what Young said. I think people, even if you've already left and you think you've gotten, you're out, there's always going to be unresolved shit, and maybe explore what some psychedelics can do for you. Yeah, probably don't do it the first time by yourself. Get someone you trust, maybe a guide, maybe a friend to trip with you or trip sober. But yeah, I do think it could be, there's in, like what Young said in the very beginning, you don't know what you don't know. Your whole reality changes when you take psychedelics, and I don't know, there's the human box that we're born in, and there's the Moony box that you're born in that's even tinier.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes you can't even figure out like which parts of you is reacting. Is it the human part of you or the Moony part of you that is denying this? Is it the culture, the society that's put this on? Whatever it is, mushrooms can help, especially people in our situation, I think. But be smart, be careful, reach out to people you trust first who've done it. I mean, yeah, that's basically it.
Cool. All right. Yeah. So we're going to get on to the lightning round. The lightning round is a series of random questions.
Sure.
They're not so bad. I mean, they're, you know, I think they're pretty good. All right, we'll start. We'll start off with a softball. What are the best snacks to take on a trip? If you're gonna do mushrooms, what are you bringing?
I'll take this the first hit here. Those Star Crunches, bro, were so good.
Yeah.
For some reason.
What was
that being said? Open the box before you start. Oh my God, I couldn't open this very, very thin cardboard box. But you know, that's actually, you know, I just remember that because that was, you know, very, very recently. But yeah. I usually don't, sometimes I don't eat the whole day. Like I just won't eat and not eat anything. So fasting is usually my default setting for tripping. But if you're going to take snacks, I don't know what they are. Lorna don't, whatever they're.
Little Debbie.
Little Debbie's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Star Crunch, because you blasted off, son.
Yo, those were, we couldn't figure out how to open those forever, bro. And then when you did and you take that first bite, your whole body's just like, whoa. Yeah.
Carbs.
Yeah. For me, I definitely don't eat. If it's acid, maybe I'll eat some fruit, maybe an orange, something juicy. Mm-hmm. But mushrooms, I definitely do not eat anything beforehand. That's like kind of a tip. Don't eat anything beforehand.
Yeah.
Also, if you can, don't drink coffee beforehand. Caffeine's not ideal. So, yeah.
Oh, right. I also remember one thing on that. In Germany, my brothers and I were tripping, and my brother had, you know, this container with like chopped up watermelons and cantaloupes, you know, those that.
Mm.
And it was cold and just, it was the best, bro.
Yeah.
It was the best. Yeah. Anyway, so something like that.
Right. Juicy fruits that are nice and juicy and cold.
Yeah. They're cold. Right. Yeah.
And someone has to feed them to you like a Roman, like you just lay down and they just, yeah. Yeah. All right. If you could go on a trip with anyone, who would you want to go on a trip with? They could be historical. They could be a family member. They could be anybody.
Could they be fictional?
A trip?
Yeah. They could be fictional. Mushrooms.
Psychedelic trip?
Who would you want to do psychedelic?
Yeah. I want to trip with my mom.
Yo.
Fucking God. The real way.
You know?
Wow.
You know?
I have. Yeah. Right.
Wow. Wow. That's a really good answer. I'm going to just copy that. Cause like, I was going to say some, like a fictional character, but like, I'd actually would like to really trip with my mom. And I think that'd be a really good experience for both of us.
And I don't even think it's impossible. I don't think mushrooms are impossible because I don't even think she knows they're drugs. I wouldn't trick her, but I would say like, this is what made me feel God. You know what I mean? Like I would do it in a way that, maybe she can do it. She won't. She doesn't drink.
That's a really good answer. That's really good.
Yeah.
It's precisely who I'd like to trip with.
All right. Last question. And it's a little bit more wild. So aliens come to Earth and the aliens say, we're going to blow this whole fucking planet up. You have to give them one psychedelic to help them realize how beautiful Earth is. What do you give them?
Earth?
Yeah.
And this is, I mean, what
you could give them anything, whatever you want. You could give them heroic. You could give them a little one, whatever you want. They're just like angry. They want to blow it up because they hate it.
I'd probably give them ayahuasca, like a lot of it. Because if you're talking about Earth, we're talking about like, look, don't destroy this green that we have. That's very important. Ayahuasca is all about green. It's all about femininity and fertility and grace and non-aggression. I mean, there's very dark sides to ayahuasca, but the general vibe is that. So I would pick that.
You know?
Yeah. I've only done, I would guess mushrooms, like a heroic dose, because it does get you in tune with the nature and the planet. But also, like, acid gets me in tune with, like, the idea of aliens. I don't know. Sometimes I'll be in bed, I'll close my eyes, I'll close my fucking eyes, and this like oblong fucking figure is like staring down at me like I'm on an operating table or something. I don't like
wow.
I don't like that's only happened a couple times, but I'm assuming that's my imagination. You know, I mean? That could clearly come from your imagination.
Yeah.
When I paint, I did a lot of painting over the summer high, and it was a lot of aliens and symbols and animals, and that's like the first thing that always comes to me. Also, I can't really draw like Yeungnam and everybody, so I just kind of paint like what's in my head, and they look kind of like childish. But definitely, yeah, it's kinda, I mean, aliens and lightning are like a running theme in my podcast. The lightning round and the aliens always come down. That's like what's going on. Yeah, man. So I want to thank you guys for coming on and talk about this. Like, I know it's not like the coolest thing or whatever. It's not like trendy or whatever, but
the coolest thing.
I
think it's great.
To me, it's something special, and like I've wanted to share, you know, about it since I tried it, and you know.
Yeah.
Well, what I like about this is like I think you guys kind of have level heads. I think you kind of like people know you, kind of respect your opinions. So it's kind of good to get that word, like, you know, like there's BCs that might need to hear this.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm fucking crazy, so no one's listening to me.
Yeah, but like I said at the beginning of this podcast, yo, I just met this man, so you might be out in these streets wild, and I have no idea.
Oh, snap.
But
I mean, if I could just say one word about this podcast, I think it's very, I really like what you're doing. I love it, in fact, and like I support you wholeheartedly with this podcast. And I sent you a text of, you know, just someone who was really helped by it and sharing it with other people who also were helped by it. So, you know, you're doing good work. So
thank you, man. I mean,
dude, if you could help one or two people, that's all you need. I mean, you could obviously reach much more, but
yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, my intention is to just like, I've met so many cool people in my life and they've helped form me, you know, through conversation and through whatever. So I just want to share those people. And there's a lot of people that are like, you know, I've had people on that were very against the church or, you know, whatever. It, to me, it doesn't matter. Like people are just sharing the deepest parts of themselves and being vulnerable, sharing about their journey, sharing about their passions. And that's what I want to put out into the universe. So to me, it's not like there's no negative insidious reason I'm doing this. I really just want to spread love. Like that's it. And just have cool conversations. And like, you know, did you ever think when you were young you would hear older church kids talking about psychedelics? Like no. When we were kids, the older church kids would get blessed and just dip. So we never even knew why they left. But at least now somebody can listen and be like, oh, this is what these people are doing with their lives, you know, years and years after this thing. So yeah, so I hope to keep having conversations like this. And, you know, if you're listening to this, if you have ideas, let me know. You know, people that you want me to talk to, let me know. If you want to talk to me, let me know. I'm open to everything. I'm also looking for people right now to do merch. If you're interested in drawing, I want to make some shirts and some merch, get a little Patreon store going on. So, you know, I'm trying to like to do big things and make it happen. So, if you're into it, let me know. Anyways, thanks again, gentlemen. Peace and love, and I will talk to you later.
Later. Peace.